All right, good afternoon. Hey. So you know why I always like you people? Not those people, but you people right here in this room. It's the last conference slot of a three-day conference. And for some of you, depending on your work day, this technically might be beyond your normal contractual work day. And also, you're not in the A through F session, which I imagine is going to be pretty crowded. So you're here, which means you really want to be here. So on behalf of our presentation team, I love you. Welcome. We are going to dive into building a perfect assessment system. So we've talked a lot throughout the conference about, you know, it's not just about large scale standardized assessment. We have to think about other types of stuff. So what types of stuff should we be thinking about? And so we're going to get after it. That link, if you use either the QR code or the link, you can follow along with the slide deck. But this slide deck is already included in the conference materials. So you can follow along, but don't be concerned about not having it. It is available with all the other resources. And there are some documents and printouts that we're going to give you and share with you in a moment. And again, clean copies of both of those documents are linked within the slide deck. So when you get a handout, feel free to write on it, scribble, make some notes. Clean copies are in the slide deck. So I'm going to introduce myself and allow my team to introduce themselves. We are a team of three today. So I'm Stephen Sneed. I'm from Oakland Schools. I am the supervisor of curriculum and assessment at Oakland Schools. So I lead a team that does that work, but I also do assessment work myself. I am a board member on the Michigan Assessment Consortium, so woo-woo, MAC. I think I have some MAC materials to pass out to you at some point. I am also a proud graduate of the University of Michigan, so go blue, right? Any Spartans around? You guys got a new coach? Cool, all right. D'Antonio kind of broke up with you real, it was sudden. It was like I'm out, right? Okay, right. U of M would never do that. Okay. And of course, my Wayne State, and I was a Warrior, not a Tartar. So that is me, Stephen.
Hi, I'm Ryan Ackerman, and I am a district
assessment coordinator there. And my educational background,
thank you, is from Western, and then
U of
M Glen Current.
Is that on?
I'm
Misty
Lutsky, and I am.
He's not even on.
Yes, he is. I am in Lake Orion School District,
Lake Orion
County. And thank you. I have the role of being the data and assessment specialist, and I am a Spartan and also a Grizzly. So.
That is us. So here's what we hope to accomplish in our time together. We want to strengthen your knowledge of components of a comprehensive balanced assessment system. What does it look like? What should be in it? What shouldn't be in it? We're going to reflect on some local district techniques to promote quality assessment literacy, systems, and techniques. I am from ISD World, so we love supporting our districts, but our districts have amazing people that are doing the work on the ground level. And so I'm thrilled to be joined by both Wendy and Missy to share with you their stories of how they actually made stuff happen in their districts. We are going to give you some artifacts that have been built as a result of that work. So this isn't a thing that was handed to them by the ISD or they printed off of a website. These are products that were built and emerged from great thinking across teacher teams in their districts. And finally, we hope to generate some ideas for change in your district. Right? You come here, you've seen some examples. What might you take back to the ranch when you leave here and come back tomorrow? Okay, so how do you define a comprehensive and balanced assessment system? What does that look like? Actually, let's stay there for a moment. Yes, you are grouped around each other. Just shoulder talk with a partner. How do you define that? How do you define a comprehensive balanced assessment system? Shoulder talk with a friend, and then we will share out in a couple moments. All right.
I think the one thing that we were talking about was consistency between classrooms. Mm-hmm. So if you've got multiple teachers teaching the same subject, the assessments will look consistent and be of the similar difficulty level in each classroom.
Okay. Thank you. One more thought. I'm going to just give it to my homeboy who went to school with me. Here.
Why, thank you. So we were talking about the idea of balance. I was talking with Stan. He's from Lenawee County. We were just talking about the idea of balance. So balance between whether it's summative, whether interim, or whether it's a formative assessment. We were talking about that idea.
Okay. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So along those lines, some of our nation's, oh, I don't need this, foremost thinkers on assessment systems have actually gotten together to produce some guidance on what might that look like. And it's pretty easy to approach. The document total is about 30 pages, so it's really easy to read. And some of them have been here in Michigan. I know that Jay McTy, for example, how many of you are familiar with MAC and the Assessment Learning Network? Ooh, that should be every hand. I need to grab Carrie here. I'll get her in a minute. So Michigan Assessment Consortium, major supporter of this conference. The ALN is a series of learning events across the state. Jay McTy is coming in March or May. I'm literally going to run out of here and grab a flyer so that you can have it. So nation's foremost leaders on assessment systems, assessment products, and they produced a white paper that shows you what that means and what it might look like in your context. So comprehensive being that it assesses all of the valued learning targets. So all the things that are important to your system are assessed, not just those that are easy to test. And that's a particularly sticky dilemma of there's things that are important to us that maybe aren't easy to measure. A comprehensive assessment does attempt to do that, with levels all across that system or results and analysis describing learning for individual learners, classrooms, schools, and districts. So we're not just staying at the district report or a school report, but it's even down to individual learners in classrooms. And that balanced being that it strikes a balance in the assessment such as available information is appropriate for a parent, a student, a psychometrician, a board member, and a district superintendent. And all of those users are going to need different parts of information in order to support sound decision making. Is your assessment system giving these people this kind of information? I won't tell you the districts that my children are in, although they aren't in Bloomfield and they aren't in Lake Orion. So I could definitely tell you as a parent in one of the districts that one of my children's districts is in the room, so I won't talk about that district. but I have a blended family, so stepchildren district. I don't know what their scores are unless I look them up on some of the assessments that they take. They don't know their scores, so there isn't any guidance given to the parent at home. So, of course, I'm assessment person at home. So, of course, I'm going in and looking up. We use Illuminate DNA. So I'm going in looking up and say, oh, you were at a RIT score of this or this, and I see an MSTEP score of this. So I know that, and I could tell that to my wife, but that's because I do this for a living, right? The district haven't gotten to that point where they're explaining to parents what some of these scores mean. So your assessment is balanced if everybody's got that useful information. So I'd like you to take a look at the sheet that was just passed out. I'll give you a minute. So look at that. And I'm going to explain what you're looking at. So it reads from left to right. And what the authors purport, and so this was new thinking for me when I first saw it. It's about a year old at this point. So they actually split apart the term formative assessment into many different types of a formative assessment process and product. Dylan Williams, as of late, is really famous for saying, you know, assessment, formative assessment is a contested term. We need to stop fighting over what we call it and have greater understanding about what it means. Because there's assessment vendors that call their item banks and tests formative, and I've gotten into fights with some of them. What Dylan says is that, well, don't fight over that, just fight over what you actually want to do with the data, what it means. So what they say is that you have short cycle formative assessment, which, how many of you are familiar with FAME? Any FAME? Yeah, woohoo, FAME in the house. Hey, Kathy. I think most people with FAME would resonate very strongly with this definition of short cycle formative assessment. So evidence of learning in a little bite-sized chunk generated by both teachers and students during the course of learning. But then also, medium cycle formative assessment. So more akin to Doug Reeves's work with PLCs and data teams, that we have evidence of learning across related units or lessons or short-term instructional learning adjustment. So not formative in the sense that I am making adjustments now in the moment, but formative in the sense that I'm going to do something differently maybe next week or the next day. Classroom summative assessment or grading, they label that squarely as grading, evidence of student achievement at a point in time for the purposes of reporting. Long cycle formative assessment, so I'm still wrestling with this term myself, long cycle formative assessment. So using a particular instrument to make very long-term changes multiple points during the year, typically two or three times. And then finally, your district summative and state accountability assessments given once. So what Dylan and Siggins and Ty and Sue Brookhart purport to say that these are the components that would constitute a comprehensive and balanced school system. So I'm going to actually do a shoulder talk again with a partner and ask how people can share out. What is your school or district doing to improve the quality of the above assessment components? So pick any one that resonates with you. And what are you doing to raise the quality of either that measurement instrument or that process by which you engage with the results? So pick a component and talk about it with them. Okay? Please
begin.
Yeah,
thank you.
I am your friend.
I talked a little bit about what's going on in our district with summative assessment, and you know, we're reporting out to parents and kids and individual classroom teachers know what those summative grades are, but we haven't gotten to the systemic part where we're pulling that data together and making sure that the fidelity's there, and that we're able to kind of use that data as a system.
Thank you. And so hopefully your experience thus far at the conference is that, you know, this conference is 60 years old. If you look at some of the brochures from 10 years ago, 20 years ago, we've been grappling with a lot of the same stuff. So we're sort of tinkering towards that utopia. So, you know, again, I looked at long cycle formative assessments, and I went to Sue Brookhart, and I'm like, what? Girl, you got to explain this to me. But she did, and I was like, okay, I get it. I still might disagree a little bit, but I get what they're talking about, that we want to use information from our system to improve outcomes for all students. And this is really hard work, but I bring for you two fantastic individuals that have been doing some of this work in their district. So we're going to first start with Lake Orion, who's going to tell you some, and when I say Missy has worked, I mean, she's going to teacher teams, she's facilitating learning, she's all over the place. She's going to share with you some of their journey.
I get in a lot of steps every day. I need the clicker too, though. All right. So if you're not familiar with Oakland County, Lake Orion is North Oakland County, and this just sort of lets you know how many students we have and sort of our breakup of elementary, middle. We have one high school, one alternative, and we now have a shared entity with Oakland County for special needs kids. And I get the pleasure of being the data and assessment specialist for the district. So that's why I get in a lot of steps. I'm going to all the buildings, working with administrators and teachers and so on. If you think of the whole balanced assessment system you're looking at on that piece of paper, I want you to put elementary in your mind, middle school, and high school. So think about that whole continuum of assessments, but in three categories. Which of those three buildings is probably the hardest and most difficult to move or to change? You got it right. Absolutely. So that's where I started. Because in Lake Orion, our elementary is functioning really well with our each of those pieces, the daily formatives, the summatives, the interims. Like, we're doing a really great job at elementary, and we're doing okay at middle school. We have common assessments. We also have the benchmarking at middle school, working on some of the shorter cycle formatives. But, I mean, that emoji kind of sums it up. You walk into the high school, and we have exams. That's it. And those exams were like 60 to 100 questions, multiple choice, very low level. So that's where I started. So the issue was the high school was kind of floundering. This is where they were. They had these exams. They really weren't using them. They were low level. But they were using them for their student growth. And they were giving the kids the exam the first day of class. Then they were giving it to them again at the end. Familiar? Is this happening? And of course, like, it was going on because when student growth came out, they had it was easy and nobody challenged it. And then I came along and started challenging it. But I do have to tell you, I went very slow. And I did some slows. So... I really did plan that. But did it come off totally natural? Okay. The reason I went with that is because I knew that I could get two things out of it. I really wanted to work with a shorter cycle and build better assessments because tackling redoing exams was not on my to-do list, but I wanted to tackle something smaller. So that was a positive. And I wanted to use it as a better indicator of student growth. So I was getting two things out of this slow. So I'm going to take you on a journey, how I went about this with the high school, and then some of the positives and negatives that happened, and where I'm going to go next with it. Okay? So the first thing I did, I assembled a team. I wish they looked like that, but they didn't. But I brought together everyone, one department head from every department at the high school. And then I had an administrator, myself, and someone from central office, which they didn't make the meetings most of the time, but at least we shared the information with them. So that was my team. I wanted everybody involved. And if it wasn't a department head, I chose someone in the department that I knew could get on board with this and work with their department on making a little change. Then we looked at how long is this going to take. I went through, starting in December of 2018 is where we started the learning, so this is early, knowing that we were not going to put anything in place until the following school year. So we had a good half a year, some professional development days, and I also have to tell you, we have the advantage of late start Wednesdays. Oh. Don't write that down. So we're able to use that time with teachers for professional development. And sometimes it's a staff meeting, sometimes it's something else, but we dedicated some late start Wednesdays to this professional learning. So I'm going to take you through what that professional learning looked like each time in a very quick way. But we basically, from December to August, filled their brains with a whole bunch of information and knowledge. And starting off, I wanted it to be their idea. I wanted it to come from them. I didn't want to walk into the room saying, I got something better for you to do. So I put together a survey, and the way I crafted the questions might be a little diabolical, but I asked them, using the current student growth process, giving the course exam during the first week of school allows me to set goals, use data to assess progress, and adjust instruction properly. Well, I knew they weren't going to agree with that. I mean, those are the whole reasons we do slows, right? So I wanted them to see that they're right. That doesn't do anything for us. 2 out of 3 disagreed that the current student growth process promoted conversation between colleagues. There's no conversation I'm going to have with my colleagues if I give the course exam the first day. Hey, guess what? They don't know anything. Conversation over. 23% agreed that the current student growth process allows you to focus on only the objectives that are most relevant for the course and future learning. Again, a component of the slow, but you can see that many of them actually disagreed that they're not testing the essential standards. Okay, so that's when I said, guess what? I have an idea. We can do something where all of those elements can be put into place. So you're going to see at the bottom a red P or a green P. The red P is where I'm taking them on through the process of a slow. The green P is going to be where we actually develop the product of the assessment to assess the slow. Okay, so this is all part of the process. I just, little bits, chunks at a time at a staff meeting, here's what a slow is, and discussed sort of that process of identifying a focus area, planning your assessment, administering a pre, analyzing those results, then create an instructional plan based on those results, implement your plan, monitor that plan, do a little bit of formative work, then you do a post-assessment, you look at the data together, you reflect, and you go from there. So this was that whole process where I was trying to not use the course as the entire growth. I was really paring it down. I was able to help them by saying, in the past, you did pre-post for your whole course, which meant for us, we do block scheduling. So the second half of the year, their post-test was June whatever, and growth was due like the day before. So it was not done in a timely manner, and they were getting all panicked about that. So I said, let's just talk about a shorter amount of time. Let's use one term, or let's use a unit as long as it is 2 to 4 weeks in length, depending on your course. And the first question they asked was, can we do that? Well, we can do that, except we have to develop a better assessment for that. So in your handout, this is the process I took Lake Orion through. We had to begin with, what are the essential standards that you want to assess? What are the most important standards that you feel students need to go beyond your course? What are the most important standards that could be applicable to the SAT or PSAT? They had to really search for those. From there, they developed a learning objective. There was a great article from Larry Ainsworth to help your staff identify essential standards, and he goes through the real process. So again, this is part of the process. This was another staff meeting, so think about how this could get across to your staff. But we talked about, is it a standard that gives them readiness for the next class, course, or grade? Is it useful beyond the unit of study or beyond the course? Will it be assessed on an upcoming national exam or state test? And does it have leverage in multiple disciplines? There is a link to the article on this slide, so if you go to the slide deck online, you can get the whole article. It's a short read. It's really easy for teachers. Before they left for summer, so think about when we started this in December, now it's June, before they left, all we asked is that you identify your essential standards. Then it was summer break. Woo-hoo! And then we come back, and it was the summer slide. They forgot maybe what they had done or what it was all about, so there was a little bit of a reminder. And then it became time. You've identified your essential standards. You created that goal for students. This is the unit, or this is the project or unit of study I'm going to use for my SLO. Now we have to design the assessment. I did a lot of learning with teachers on DOK levels 1, 2, 3, and 4. It was essential that their assessment had to include at least up to DOK level 3. Fours are really hard. I wasn't going to push them to fours, but they had to have 3. So there was a lot of learning about what a 2 looks like, what a 3 looks like. Can a multiple choice question actually be a higher level DOK? Yes, it can. So think about some of the learning that goes through that. Again, we're still in the process of the SLO. Okay, you familiar with that? Yeah. What happens if you try to build furniture from IKEA without this? Yikes, right? So I actually did development on a blueprint, what a test blueprint is, why we need a test blueprint. This was another staff meeting. This was another professional development opportunity that you have to have a plan before you start. You have to know which questions and which standards you're going to put at a certain DOK level and then create your balanced assessment. This was the biggest piece of learning for teachers, I think, because I think we put together assessments or we pull them from, what's that common one we get our test questions from? We know what this is. Exam view, right? Do we know what exam view is? We can just go there and pull questions. But like we're just making them up as we go along, or we're just randomly pulling from exam view. But I wanted to have a plan. So more DOK discussions. There's also out there, so Webb had their DOK, which kind of came out of Bloom's taxonomy. But then Hess kind of put together Bloom's and Webb's. This was more detail for teachers at each content level, at each DOK level. They were very, very happy to have something to help them with this. Just Google Hess cognitive rigor matrix. There is one for almost every discipline in your high school. It included career and technology benchmarks, world language, health and PE. They never get anything, right? Health and PE. So this was helpful to get them to ask questions at a higher DOK level. There's also websites like this that are going to give you examples for different disciplines. This is just an example of helping them go through the blueprint. As you're planning your assessment, this kind of gives you how many questions at what DOK level, what's the weight of that question for the assessment, and then down here is going to tell you the rigor of your assessment. So if you want more work with assessment blueprints, you can Google that as well. I kind of made this to fit Lake Orion. So then we're off to design their assessment, create the assessment, plan for instruction. And then this is a luxury I have, and this is how I got my steps. I met with every single course and reviewed their assessment with them. Made sure that the assessment had that higher level DOK and how was it going to fit into, we use Illuminate DNA. There were some that I went back to them and said, I really think that this question could be done in this way. But for the most part, I would say 89% of them were great. And then they were off to use them. And they gave them pre, they did their instruction, they looked at the data, and they did their post. This is just August and September, giving them district time to work. Me working with each department, making sure the assessment had rigor. And then they post, review the results. Now the beauty of this was that after they reviewed the results, because it was a unit or a shorter amount of time, that idea that kids could relearn and retest was a very positive thing for the teachers instead of that summative end of the course exam. So here's just some positives and negatives that I experienced. The professional learning was focused for the teachers. I got great feedback on that. Assessments were written with more rigor. I was very, very pleased with moving the high school an inch. It was awesome. Student growth was completed in a timely manner or will be completed in a timely manner. And looking at results, reteaching, and reassessing was, again, that positive aspect of the high school that they were missing and they were really excited about. The sad part, most skipped making the blueprint. And I had to decide, am I going to be a stickler about that? Or when I met with everyone and looked at the assessments, I decided I'm just going to give them feedback that way. But at least in their mind, they knew about this blueprint, and there were some that used it, but not too many. It was a little overwhelming for them. Time to meet with all courses. I just have that as a down, knowing that that may not be possible for everybody. Assessment took a little longer to grade. Teachers did come back to me and say, can I change this to multiple choice because it just took me too long? I said, nope. And the need to focus next on formative assessment. So as you could, that whole process happened from December to August, and then they implemented. My next step is to be more diligent on the little checks in between and focus on that short-term formative assessment within the slow. Questions? That's a quick journey. Yes. Yep. So we didn't touch our exams. They're still using those as that final summative piece for the grade. Yep. But we no longer use them as a pre. Yes.
And it has been said by some that they don't really have like a DLK-1 that can really be used for those standards because they're all three-dimensional.
Right. Mm-hmm. So science, they focused a lot on modeling and created rubrics to go along with their modeling. Correct. Yes. Yep. Any other questions? Yes. Right. We did not. And I'll tell you why. Teacher-created assessments. When you make an A version and a B version, we don't have the degrees to create assessments that are the same level, right? Like, I know you can change the numbers, but sometimes when you change the numbers in a math problem, you actually are making it harder depending on which numbers you pick. So I felt like we were not educated enough to do that to make the results valid. So we kept the same. Good question. Anyone else? Do you feel like that could be something doable?
Oh, you have that?
Okay.
Well, lucky me, I get to be the very last person on the very last day of the very last session, and we have people. So, so thank you for staying. Hopefully I share something that's worth it. So Bloomfield Hills, if you are not familiar, it's also in Oakland County, and I'm very fortunate because I get to work with Stephen and Missy and other people like Radhika that's here throughout Oakland County. So even though I might be the only one in my district with my title, I don't feel as much as a singleton when I get to work with all these great people. So that's been awesome. It's a very wealthy district. Don't look too closely. And we still have our challenges, though. Every district has their challenges. I really feel strongly about that. I've worked in four different districts, all very different. Everyone has their challenges. I'm just going to share our recent journey. I have been in this district. This is my fourth year, and fourth year with this title as well. Our most significant growth, though, within our district has been with our economically disadvantaged students and our English learner students. And so that has been kind of challenging for Bloomfield Hills because it's not something that we are really all that used to. So we needed to do something about it. So we really are on this journey to a perfect balanced assessment system. We are not there yet. I don't know if we ever will be there, but we're really trying hard in this journey to get there. And it started back in 2016-17 when I came to the district and the position had changed a lot. And I thought, okay, this is kind of a great time for a fresh start. And the first thing that I was asked to do was create this new district assessment statement. And there's a link to it. That's actually a link. But I'm going to read the overall goal. Super easy goal. Create an assessment system of meaningful assessment tools, methodologies, and data systems that provide information to key decision makers to improve educational outcomes for all students at each stage in the learning process. Now you know why we're never going to be perfect, right? But it's a good goal to keep striving for. We really wanted to have our needs drive our journey. So instead of saying, okay, well, we're going to do this and we're going to do that, we really wanted to make sure that if we were going to be giving assessments or using the formative assessment process, that it was because that's what we needed. We don't want anyone to feel like there's compliance. Not saying that all teachers feel as though there isn't compliance factors, but we're trying to get there. So a wonderful thing kind of happened, kind of got voluntold, I'm going to say, to be part of an assessment audit pilot. So last year, I actually presented about this pilot at two different sessions. And at this pilot, we were joined with Novi Schools and with Dearborn Schools and Michigan Assessment Consortium, Wayne Risa. And with this pilot, I brought 20 people from the district, all different levels, teachers, administrators, learning specialists. And we met three times in the evenings. And we met during school time as well. And we had some very difficult, challenging conversations during this. Got a little heated at times. People are pretty passionate about assessment, whether they like it or not. They're pretty passionate. And we looked at what our goals were. We looked at what we have in place. And there was a little bit of a mismatch there. And basically, what it told us is that we really needed to invest some time in formative assessment processes and common assessment practices. Formative assessment seemed as though that was a little bit of an easier place for us because we are also in the midst of trying to adopt new curriculum materials. And so that had some resistance there with, well, we don't want to create common assessments and then all of our units change. So formative assessment process is really something that can be done right now, tomorrow, anytime, any class. So that was a good place for us to start. So you can see that then we basically went full strength ahead. We knew that we needed to invest some time. We knew what we wanted, and we kind of had a little path of how to get there from doing this pilot. So in 2018-19, we increased the focus on formative assessment with the support of FAME, Formative Assessment for Michigan Educators through MAC. How many of you guys are familiar with that? Yeah. So it was actually something I did in my former district, too, so that was a great, it was great because I already had some experience with it. We also developed a common assessment continuum rubric. And with that, what we were trying to get away from is teachers that were basically just giving the same test that was common, but not necessarily using it in any productive way. Wanted it to be more like a process, more like informing your instruction. So this rubric was developed using the assessment literacy standards from Michigan Assessment Consortium. We also developed a district data protocol and various data resources so that teachers had the tools. So when they were looking at the data, they had great questions that they could ask of one another, and it really just drove some conversation. So instead of saying, oh, well, my average was a 70%, or my students don't know how to do this, it really drove some conversations forward. The data protocol that we adopted kind of was a modification of the ATLAS protocol. So if you're not familiar, the ATLAS protocol, that was one that we really liked a lot. And then we tweaked it to be our own. We also were going through strategic planning at the same time. And so we tried to make it really intentional to put this within our strategic plan, implementing multiple ways for students to show evidence of learning. We also have it in our district improvement plan, our school improvement plans. So we have it in writing. We know that this is what we want to do. And we did a year-long learning specialist book study. So we have learning specialists in our middle schools and our elementary schools. And they work with students part of the time. And the other part of the time, they're starting to coach teachers. So that's, other people might have something similar if it's not called learning specialist. And we went through the whole entire book, Assessment Literacy for Educators in a Hurry. You've probably went to sessions throughout this. Assessment literacy was talked about earlier today, and assessment literacy is just so critical because if you don't know how you're using those assessments and what the purposes are, they're not valuable. That's when teachers start saying, well, that's all we do is we test. We're just always testing the kids. That's because they don't know how they're supposed to be using that. That is not a class that we ever had to take on assessment literacy. I never did. So the assessment literacy standards really have been guiding us. And then the book by Popham, I don't know if anyone's ever read, if you guys have read his book. Of course, you two have, right? If you're familiar with Popham at all, he writes very much like he speaks. So it's very entertaining to actually read his book. I'll tell you, if you read the book, though, it starts off a little technical, and then it gets a little bit less technical. So we all read through that throughout the year and really tried to develop that assessment literacy. And then that brings us to this year. So we're still doing all of those things that were in blue, so this year's peachy orange maybe doesn't look like there's as much that we're doing, but we're working really hard at everything that we're doing. This year, we're doing an interim assessment review. So currently we use NWA. We're looking at NWA along with four other vendors. And when NWA was chosen 8 years ago, it was just chosen. And honestly, it was chosen as needed for student growth for evaluations, which I know is not the right thing to do. And you can imagine the resistance then that came from the teachers. So now what we're doing is we have a whole group together. We are looking at survey results. We're looking at our needs. And we're really trying to deepen our understanding of assessment literacy. And then we're going to look at all of what the vendors have to offer. And we're going to choose something that fits our needs. Whether we stay with NWA or not, we want to make sure that everyone really wants what we're using. Because it's a big investment, right? Even with our district that's kind of medium-sized, it's over $40,000. So we want to make sure that we're going to use it, and not for student growth on evaluations, but to really promote that student learning. We also, because of all the work that we've been doing with FAME, so with FAME, we started off back in 2017-18, I brought it to Bloomfield Hills because I had used it in Clarkston. There was two coaches, myself and one other coach, and two teams. And now we have 10 coaches. And we are partnering with Michigan Department of Education and Michigan Assessment Consortium because we are really just trying to use these great resources that they have and meet our needs. And our teachers and our coaches are loving it. We meet, so my team is all of the coaches. So I have a team of 10, including myself. And we meet about every 6 weeks. We make sure that we have that common language. We make sure that the needs of the district are being met and that we're learning together. So we're on this journey together. I keep telling them that I'm not an expert in formative assessment. I'm here learning with you guys. And we have a good time learning together and posing questions. And if one of the coaches is struggling with something, then we just work it out as a group. And it's been really, really powerful to have that shared learning experience. But it got noticed from Michigan Assessment Consortium and Michigan Department of Education. And they're like, what are you guys doing in Bloomfield Hills? Why do you keep asking for more coaches? Because it's free. And they want to know, you know, what are we exactly supporting over there in Bloomfield Hills that we have so many people going to cognitive coaching and all the other free things that they give us? So they started partnering with us. And we had our own launch this year in Bloomfield Hills, where instead of the people from Michigan Department of Education that they have hired to do the launch, we partnered. So myself and the other coaches at Bloomfield Hills, along with the rep, we all did this launch together. We have people that are coming in and going to take a tour of our buildings from Michigan Department of Education and from other districts around the state. And Margaret Heritage is coming. If you know who she is, she's amazing in the world of formative assessment, kind of like a celebrity coming to Bloomfield Hills. And we are part of a like cover story that they're doing. And we've just really have this really nice close relationship and bonding with Michigan Retirement Education and Michigan Assessment Consortium. And that has been really great. It's a lot of work, but it's been really nice. They're so supportive. So many times I'll ask for new copies of the assessment literacy standards, and I'll just email Kim Young, and I'll say, I could use 30 more copies, and she just ships those out to me with a nice little smiley note. So they're great. I really can't say enough about FAME, so I would highly recommend, if you don't have this in your district, the applications to become a coach usually come out in the spring, and they're usually in the spotlight. Like I said, it's free, and it's amazing. Yeah.
So yeah, when you said you were well resourced, well, of course you have paid tons of money to Mac and Fame. I mean, you wrote big checks, right?
No. All free. So when you become a Fame coach, you get cognitive coaching training for free over the course of 2 years. Adaptive Schools training for free. The launch is free. Everything is free. Sometimes they have people come and speak. It's all free. Michigan Department of Education funds it all. And if you have ever been through Adaptive Schools or cognitive coaching training, it's usually pretty expensive. So, yeah. I would highly recommend it. So really, three focuses stand out when you look at our journey over the last few years. So increasing our formative assessment through FAME, building that assessment literacy. If we didn't tackle looking at how every assessment that we're giving, every time we analyze data, everything that we do that has to do with assessment and data, if we didn't start connecting that to assessment literacy, I don't think we would be in the place that we were. With assessment literacy standards, they can be kind of overwhelming. And if you take a look at them, especially if you go directly to the teacher part, it's a little overwhelming. So I usually tell people that if you're looking at them, look at the student ones and think about how can you support your students. And it just gives nice conversations. It gives a lot of great meaning to assessment work. And if you're looking at those assessment literacy standards, you're looking at your assessment, and it doesn't match, then you know that maybe we don't need that assessment anymore. And then redefining and creating common assessments. And that's where we need probably the most growth. And when I saw what Missy was going to do when we met, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I wish that we were there. I wish that we had all of that. And then you heard her say that they're going to be working on formative assessment. Like, together, we're just perfect, right? So I think that what she's doing is just so hard, but we're working on it, and it's going to be kind of a slow journey, but I really think that if we are intentional and we use this rubric, that it'll at least be meaningful, all of that time that we're taking. So in the statement, this is part of the statement that I had written, and the one that really kind of stands out is maximizes the ability of the district to adjust and adapt to the learning needs of all students through collaboration, curriculum adjustments, and interventions. We know that that's a characteristic that we want, and that's what we're really trying to focus on with everything that we do. So here are my suggestions. Develop assessment literacy, if I didn't say that enough. Don't underestimate the time it may take to develop a foundational understanding. It takes a lot of time. I have not run into one educator that has had a college course on assessment literacy. That's hard. That's hard work to do. Let the need drive the assessments. Make sure that they are wanting the assessment, because that's where I'm at right now. Now they're coming to me and they're saying, well, Wendy, we really need to have an assessment at the end of every single unit. Really? Well, how are we going to get there? Really let that need, because once you start developing that assessment literacy, once you start using formative assessment and they're really understanding how it impacts the students and they're building their collective efficacy because they're seeing how important their work is, it'll just kind of happen. Support the development of assessments. Unfortunately, we don't have anything like Lake Orion does with the Late Start Wednesdays, so it's challenging to find that time and space. Build capacity for the use of data. Data is not everybody's friend for some reason. Some people really struggle with it. So I don't understand. No, I do understand. But you know, make sure that you keep it simple and support it. Support the struggle. incorporate action steps into improvement plans. That was a really big thing for us. When we started making sure that this was part of our school improvement plans, district improvement plans, strategic plan, it's part of our portrait of a learner. When we started putting it in there and making sure that it was embedded and part of the curriculum, instruction, and assessment all together, that was really helpful for us. It wasn't this added layer. So then the last thing that I have is, you all have that, right? The rubric, the continuum rubric. So looking through that rubric, you can do a connect extend challenge. So how are the ideas within that rubric connected to what you already knew or already do? What new ideas did you get that extended? And what challenges or puzzles or questions do you have? So I'm just going to have you with a shoulder partner kind of look at that. And then I'm going to do what Stephen did and call out on a couple people.
Yeah, so I can see. I can see.
And if you could find a place to bring your conversation to a close, we are getting close to the end of our time. If you could find a place to bring your conversation to a close. Wendy, do we want to have one or two people share out what was lifted up in their conversation? So let's say for our purposes, oh, yeah, great, awesome.
So I was talking about in our district, in my at my level, middle school level, we're kind of needing to work on, we're in the developing stage where we have our essential learnings. So this is making a connection. We have our essential learnings, but we need to work on calibrating our evidence of learning so that everybody's expecting the same thing and having teachers bring in student work and using the, you know, student work protocols. So that's kind of our focus this year, and I feel like we really need to work on short cycle and medium cycle at my level.
Thank you.
We just kind of talked about how, like, going forward with a balanced assessment system, and that's one of our district goals, that this was, it was evident that this was very much a priority, and so all of the focus and time and attention, you know, not all, but a lot of it was geared here as to not overwhelm and kind of have that initiative fatigue happening as well. So that's kind of what we talked about, how we could do that, because I think no matter what, it's something that goes across any domain, any subject area, you know, auxiliary, anything. So.
Thank you. Anyone else? We're going to skip this because we're literally at time here today. But share with your shame, the same shoulder partner, what are you taking away for today? So, and I'll even open it up if Wendy and Missy don't mind. What are you taking away from the conference, right? So what's a nugget of wisdom you got maybe from this session or from the conference overall? Have that talk with the shoulder partner. I'm going to ask two people to share out, and then we're done. We're out of here. Okay? Sound good? I hope that through what you've experienced in the conference and what you heard from Wendy and Missy gives you a sense of hope and of optimism that you can do this work. You can do this work with your existing resource portfolio. There are other institutions that can help you, your ISD, MAC, MDE. We are all pulling together. We are all in the fight for educational equity and justice for our students. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you for being here. Have a great and safe ride back home. And thank you both to Missy and Wendy for sharing your story.